Take your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And we are literally, I can't believe after day we're halfway through this series already. I felt like I just said we were going to do this 10-week series, and now we're halfway through it. I hope it's been a blessing to you and a help to you. I know when I did this Bible study myself, how many of you, you've read Psalm 23, been in Psalm 23 like your entire life? You know it. Some of you can just quote it. You've got it memorized. It's all there. You might miss a word or two, but you got it. I've heard message after message after message on Psalm 23. I've preached through it before. And so a while back, someone told me, hey, this guy does this Bible study through Psalm 23, and it's really good. And I'm like, no. He mentioned the guy's name, and I'm like, there's no way that guy could do anything good. I didn't know that was possible. And so, and I'm only teasing partially, but I'm like, there's no way. But I'm like, you know what? The guy that told me, I trust him. So I'm like, I'm gonna do his Bible series and go through Psalm 23. And when I got through, I was like, wow. He was right. I don't know if that guy's printed anything else or done any other good sermons, but I know this was a good sermon series. Say, so what? You're just preaching his sermon series. No, I'm not. You don't just preach someone else's sermon series. We all preach the Lord's book. It's his book anyways, right? And so we just take those messages, and it's always good to have friends here today. It's good to have Pastor Adam here and his wife. We're grateful that both of you here. They're on vacation. I love it. You do what the best way a pastor should do it. You don't tell anybody that you're visiting their church till the night before. That's the best time to do it, because if he would have told me last Wednesday or Sunday, I'm going to be around Sunday, I'd be like, I could have him preach since he's here. Because when's the pastor ever free on Sunday? And he's like, no, I'm free because I'm taking a break. It'll be nice to sit. And so it was awesome to see you here. He's a good friend. And he's a board member at the Rescue Mission, too. And so that's a good thing. And so he's a good guy, and I appreciate him and his love for the Lord. And I got to go do one of their chapels. Their school is very unique, and there's a lot of Vietnamese kids that come, and it's just an interesting school. But the spirit there, and it was neat to be there. It's awesome. And so they're in Santa Ana, and so Bethel Baptist. So good church, doing a good work there, and I hope you get a nice little break. And Big Bear's a nice place to go, so that's awesome. And so when I decided to do this series, it's about the goodness of God. But this, sometimes when it comes to the goodness of God, we'll say in our lives, well, I know God's good, but he's not being very good in my life right now. Have you ever thought that? No, I think no one's ever thought that, just me. I'm the only big sinner in the room that's ever thought that one before. No, it comes. There's not a problem with God's goodness. He is good. The problem is, he doesn't force himself on us. Sometimes I really wish he would. I saw a great little, and I was going to put up on the screens this morning, I forgot all about it. Someone sent me and I don't even know if I can, it was a reel on Instagram. I don't know if you can put those up. I was going to try to. But this reel had this sheep that was stuck in this thing. And it's literally, its legs are stuck, so the shepherd or someone goes and picks the sheep, and the sheep's kicking the whole time, and the shepherd gets the legs up, and it gets out, and it just takes off running all over the place. A few seconds later, falls right back in the ditch. Kind of like us in the Christian life, right? We get up 1 minute. God wants to lead you. Life is full of decisions. We make decisions every day. Do you know how many decisions you've already made this morning? When the alarm went off this morning, you made a decision. Do I hit the snooze button and try for the 11:30 service? Or there could have been some of you in this service, you're like, we're going at 8:30 last night. Then the alarm went off this morning, you're like, nope, 10 o'clock it is. Thank the Lord for three services. We can come to whichever one we want. And so, but you made a choice. And to be in church this morning, you made a good choice for this Sunday morning. You know, when I was a kid, my mom would have our clothes laid out the night before for Sunday. How many of you knew what you were going to wear today last night? Anybody? One of us. Two of you. Good job. Last service, no one raised their hand. So last night, we had a church angel game we went to. And so I'll tell you, the most exciting part of that game was the wave that went around the stadium. That's how bad the game was. So it was really bad. It was 6-1 was the score. Russ is the one who plans it for us and everything. I enjoyed the fellowship with God's people, but the game, literally when the fans are more excited about the wave going around the stadium, it's not a very good game. That tells you that right there. Are you okay over there? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, though. So, but we didn't get back here till after 11 last night. So when I got home, I worked on my message a little bit more, just like I always do. And so 1:15 is when my iPad turned off and I was going to bed. And so 6:30-ish, I was going to get up, and I'm like, nope. I'm staying in bed a little bit longer. You say, what time did you get up? 7:27 this morning? Say, church started at 8:30. Yep. You're like, doesn't a pastor need to pray? I prayed last night. So I get that from Nehemiah. Nehemiah did a lot of praying, and then when he got before the king, he said a quick prayer in his head, and he's ready to go. So I was prayed up, ready to go last night. And so, yeah, I got here, and I got here before most of anyone did anyways. But we all make decisions. You're going to make a decision in a little bit, what do you eat for lunch? Do you go healthy, or do you go not healthy? Or, you know, whatever the case may be. Life is full of decisions. I remember the first time I went on a hike a couple years ago. Hiking, I love hiking. It's one of my favorite things to do. I remember the first couple hikes I went on, I thought, I don't really need, because, you know, they have apps. Like, you can buy these apps, and it will tell you where to go, and you can download the maps and things. And my thought was, I didn't need it. I can figure my way around. Just like a typical man, right? I don't need directions. I can figure this out for myself. And then when you get to a spot and you're like, I don't remember which way to go. And I finally found the car, but I learned that day I needed a map. I needed help with it. I'm not one of those that you, how many of you use your GPS for everything on your phone wherever you go? So, yeah, Caroline, your hand better be up. And when the GPS isn't working, she calls me, so it works that way. And so aren't you grateful that God made GPS, that we have that? I'm sure God had to be in that somewhere. Because before that, it was Thomas Guides. Anybody remember those? Yeah, that was a great little book. I loved. Maps were my thing. I loved. We'd go on trips. My dad would go to AAA and get the free maps. And I would map out the whole trip with those AAA maps. And I loved doing that. And I literally, the only reason I use GPS today is to know where traffic's at. I don't use it for anything else. So if I'm going to the mission on Tuesdays, I open it up and look at which ways has less traffic, and that's the way I go. I don't leave it on because I don't want this thing telling me, turn left right here, turn left here, turn right, because it gets to be a little bit annoying at times. But then the other day, I was going somewhere, and I wanted to miss the traffic, and I went to hit my GPS button. And what my phone did was the top corner had this SOS. It lost cell service and internet. It was Verizon. It happened a week and a half ago. They had like 8,000 customers that happened to. Every other line on my thing was fine. It was only my line. Thank the Lord I got a 3-hour break from my cell phone. But anyways, with all of that, I could not, and I ended up staying in traffic for a while because I couldn't access it. Even a phone and its GPS isn't always correct. You've been given someone to guide you through your life, to help you everywhere you go. One last illustration, then we'll get into the message. I remember the first time I went to the Midway, the battleship down in San Diego there. For $5 more, $3 more, you could wear a headset. And you know what my first thought was the first time? Who needs a headset? I can just read the things wherever I go, and I'll understand everything while I'm there. So the first time I went, I didn't get the headset. I went through, and I thought it was a pretty cool thing, but I'm like, this is highly overrated, you know? Anyways, next time we went, got the headset. The headset made a big difference. It explained to me things that I had no clue. Now, you don't have to pay extra for the personal guide you have through life. His price was paid on a cross by Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is there to guide you every day, every moment in your life. The problem is, we don't always follow his directions. We sometimes go down our own way. You ever use the GPS enough where it says, turn around, turn around, turn around? Yeah, some of you are shaking your heads. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. And God wants to lead you. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you, but you can't be led by multiple people. You can't lead yourself and let God lead you. You can't let the culture around us lead us and let God lead us. You can't let our feelings lead us and God lead us. It doesn't work that way. There's a choice that is made. Psalm 23, we look there, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. That's what we looked at last week. Look at the rest of verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is a good God. He's a good God, and his goodness is seen in how he shepherds his people. It's seen in how he makes us rest when we don't want to always rest. He refreshes our soul and refreshes us like no one could ever do it. People seek that in life, and the Lord will refresh us. He restores our souls, we looked at last week. And today, we look at this thought of how to be led by God's Spirit. God wants to lead you, but he doesn't force you. Like, if I were God, I sometimes tell God, just make me do what I'm supposed to do, please. Have you ever said that to God? I'm like, just put the leash around my neck and drag me. Drag me where I need to go, because I'm stubborn and I'm foolish and I don't always do the right thing. And yet I know that, and then I still don't do what I'm supposed to do at times. Any of you ever like that? Oh, we got perfect people in here today. One of you should be preaching here this morning, because I'm talking about myself when I say these things. But we look at it and we think about it. It says that God wants to lead us in the paths of righteousness. That means the right path. God wants you to do what's right. He wants to lead you in the right way, in the right path. As we look here this morning, as we dive into the message, a lot of times we look at things and God says he'll guide you, he'll go with you. But how often do you actually use the Lord? How many times do you make the decision instead of letting the Spirit lead you? I had someone a while back that came to me like, Pastor, this is what we're doing. Wonderful. I don't know why. I haven't figured this one out as a pastor. Maybe, I don't know, Pastor, you might have this one figured out. People come to me and say, this is what I'm doing. It's like, okay, great. What do you want me to do? Affirm what you're doing? I don't know. It's like, you don't need my approval for what you do, but it's almost like, I don't know why. This is what we're doing. Okay. Sometimes people be like, well, what should I do? And I have people ask me that. What should I do? And you know what my response is every time? Have you asked the Lord? Oh, no. Not you. No. Like that person I was mentioning a few minutes ago. This is what we're doing, Pastor. I'm like, wonderful. Have you talked to God about it? Well, no. You might want to talk to the Lord before you decide what you're going to do. It goes a lot better that way. I think about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Most people know these verses. We just don't live them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God wants to direct us. He wants to help us. And as we look at this today, one of the ways we know that we're saved is the fact that the Spirit can lead us. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, verse number 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. One of the ways you know that you're saved, like some people, how do I know I'm saved? The fact that God will lead you and his Spirit guides you. If you're not saved, you don't have that function. You don't have that app to use. You don't have it and you can't buy it. Jesus paid for it and it comes as an exclusive member of the Jesus Club. That's the only way you can get this one. So if you're saved, he will lead you and you're led by him. That's part of it. But the problem is, if I want to be led by God's Spirit, there are a lot of other things out there that want to lead me instead. But if I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God, I got to get rid of those things and let God lead me. So if I want to be led by God's Spirit, the first thing I can't do is I cannot follow culture that doesn't follow God. Have any of you realized that our culture and God are opposite? There is nothing in common with the two. If I can't follow this culture and follow God. This culture doesn't follow God. And what am I trying to do? I'm trying to follow God. So how can you follow something that doesn't follow God if you're trying to follow God? Doesn't that make sense? It makes sense, but a lot of times we don't do it. You can't run in two opposite directions at the same time. You can't serve God and serve money at the same time. You can't live in the flesh and live in the spirit at the same time, right? A lot of Christians try to do those things, but we can't do those things. When it came to the children of Israel, Exodus 23 verse 2 says this, Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in any cause to decline after many to rest judgment. You know what that says? Don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. That's what it's telling us right here. And everybody's doing it, that doesn't make it okay. What does the Bible say? What does God want you to do? You see, we sometimes as Christians, we look, well, this is what the world, I don't care what the world does. They're running at odds with God. Why would I want to do what this world does? I don't want the heartache they have. I don't want the misery that they have. I don't want that. I want to follow God. So why would I follow a culture that doesn't follow God? It makes sense, right? You know, we look at it and we think about it. Israel, what was one of Israel's biggest problems in the Old Testament? They wanted to be like everybody else. I think that's one of the biggest problems in Christianity today. We want to be like everybody else. It doesn't work that way. Over and over, Israel, for almost 4,000 years, we just want to be like every other nation. Give us a king like every other nation. Give us this. We want to be like everybody else. And today, as a Christian, we don't need to be. We don't want to be like the culture around us. Don't let this culture form you and conform you to themselves. Isn't that what the Bible talks about in Romans? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't let this world push you into its mold. Let this book transform your life so you can prove, look, what does it say? That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will for our life, it's good, it's not bad. God's will for our life, as you look at that word acceptable, that means pleasing. God's will, it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable to live the way God wants you to. And then that word perfect there has to do with complete. We want to live the way God wants us to, but we're letting the wrong things lead us. We can't let our culture lead us. Think about what 1 John 2:17 says. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Everything in this world changes. Do you realize that? If you have clothes from 30 years ago, save them, because they'll come back in style. I wasn't born when people wore the bell bottoms and all those things, but I see a lot of bell bottoms today again, right? When I was a teenager, a senior in high school, I used to have the aviator sunglasses, and I thought I was the coolest thing around. And my friends on our senior trip said, "Brian, you're a nerd. Only nerds wear those. Those are so out of style." And I see people starting to wear them again. The only problem is if you save the clothes from 30 years ago, hopefully you can still wear them. That's the biggest problem that you got, right? But everything in our world changes. You know, let's talk about a subject. Let's use abortion for a second. Go back 30 or 40 years ago, the top Democrats, were they for abortion or against it? Against it for the most part. And those same people today are all for it. Why? Because culture changes. And the world passes away, the lust thereof. It comes and goes. The culture around us, it's constantly moving, constantly changing. But the things of God never change. This book is still true today, and you can trust it. Don't let culture dictate how you live. Live the way God wants you to live. Secondly, if I'm going to let the Spirit of God lead me, I can't follow friends who aren't led by God. Peer pressure. Anyone ever experienced that before? Sometimes you think peer pressure only happens in high school, right? Wrong. It can happen all through life. Who you hang around matters. One of the reasons we don't hear God's will or follow the Lord is because we're listening and doing, hey, friends say, let's do this. Let's go here. Let's drink this. Let's eat this. Let's do this. Let's talk like this. Do you let your friends dictate how you live, or do you let the Spirit of God dictate it? Let's watch this movie. Let's do this. So many things I could say right there. 1 John 3:7 says this, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So you could put the opposite in there. He that doeth wickedness is wicked, right? No, you don't be deceived. Do what's right. Be like Christ. Do what is right. And you know, when we look at these things, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Someone said it like this, you can't soar with the eagles if you're running like around with the turkeys. Right? Who you hang around matters. And we say that for our kids, but do we as adults still view it the same way? Oh, I'm just going to have a ladies' night out or a man's night out. Does the Spirit of God lead you to do that, or the things you do during that time, or do your friends dictate what you do? Got to be very clear, and I love Jeremiah. Jeremiah 15, verse number 19. Jeremiah, if he's going to return to Jerusalem, so if he returns, a lot of the people there aren't going to understand the things of God, but he says, this is what the Lord says, therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Now you might, that might be a little confusing in there. But he's saying if you take the good from the bad, let them come to you. You rub off on them. Don't let their bad rub off on you. Well, that's the way we do it a lot of times. I'm going to change my friends. Then they change you. Be led by the Spirit, and not by what your friends say. Every day you go to work, I like this. Are you going to be a thermostat or a thermometer? A thermometer just reflects what the temperature is of the environment. They're talking dirty. I just join in because that's what everyone else is doing. That's what a thermometer does. But a thermostat sets the temperature. So what are you, a thermostat or a thermometer? We can't let our friends dictate how we live. Number three, we move on. If we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, I can't look to other sources besides God to be led. And people do this all the time. Throughout the Bible, it was done. If you're looking for direction in life, my first place I would go is not Dr. Phil, okay? Or Oprah, or anybody like that. Why not go to the one who created you? Right? The other day, Caroline got me an early Father's Day gift. And I don't know, she gets it around food things for me to make more food. I think she's trying to keep me cooking at home. I know what she's doing. What was this? It's one of those big griddle things. And it was on sale at Sam's Club. The whole thing is you had to put it together. So I'm getting good at this. I used to take the directions and set them on the side and figure it out. Not this time. They made this thing, so they probably know how to put it together, right? And I know a lot of you ladies are like, I try to tell my husband that all the time. They will learn at some point, or they'll be redoing a lot of the things that they do. And you say, when did you learn? After 100 times of not doing it, I finally clicked. But even with this one. So they know what needs to be done and everything else, so I'm following the directions. Word for word, following the directions. It gets to a certain point, the base is all put together. And so I look at the next point. I just look at it quick, and it just says, basically you take the top and you screw it into the bottom. Easy. But I didn't read it, I just grabbed it and did it. And then I follow the next 4 or 5 steps, and then I look, and the propane hose was on the outside. Well, that part I didn't read too closely said, you need to make sure the propane thing is inside the cabinet before you screw everything in. And when you go 4 or 5 steps further down, the top is stuck, it's not going anywhere. I can't just remove 2 screws and make it. I had to go back 5 steps in the thing and redo it because I didn't follow the directions there. And it's like, who made us? God did? So if someone knows how we need to be or how we need to live, why wouldn't you go to God? Like, you wonder about gender and marriage and all that stuff, why would you go to someone who doesn't know when God can take care of it for you? And I'll just tell you this about gender real quick. That's the only thing I'm going to say about it, and this has nothing to do with the message. But in order to get the water into that house, you had to have a male and female plumbing parts to make it work. Even plumbing has it figured out. I'm just saying, okay? And we had to get special fittings to make it work because you can't just take the 2 ends on the hose and make it work. You know what I mean? So even plumbing has gender figured out. It's amazing that we can't get it figured out. And anyway, isn't it how ridiculous we are? Plumbing has it figured out. I can't go to the plumbing aisle and get non-binary parts. You know, it doesn't work that way. So anyways, I'll leave that there. I won't go any deeper. And we're live streaming the service. I didn't even say that last service. And then the service we're live streaming, I say something like that. Anyways, but it's true. But, you know, why do we go to all the other sources? When it comes to life and how we do things, we need to go to God. He knows what's best. Just like this whole well issue. We had one guy come out yesterday that all he does is regular plumbing. He's like, well, I don't even know what to do, but I think I could do it for like $15,000. I'm like, you don't even know what to do, but I'm going to pay you $15,000 to do that, and you don't even know what you're doing. No. This other guy comes out and opens up 3 boxes out there that I didn't even know were out there, and he's checking all. He knew what he was doing. So why am I going to go with someone who doesn't know what they're doing when I can go to the source, a good source that knows what he's doing? That's how it goes in the Christian life. God wants, he said, I want you to look to me. Don't look to other things for guidance. Let me guide you. And there's a lot of people in life that go to lots of other things. We think about divinations and things. Bible talks about it many times where people, did you know in ancient times, it was common for people to figure out, the king of Babylon did this. The Bible tells in Ezekiel 21, 21. Look what it says. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divinations. And he made his arrow bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. They would literally cut livers out of animals and decide if they should go to battle based on what the liver looked like. Isn't that crazy? So someone goes and gets their palm read, or their horoscope, or whatever else the case may be. I had to look this one up because I didn't believe it. Has anyone ever heard of this? Rumpology. R-U-M-P-O-L-O-G-Y. They base your future by the shape of your bottom. It's a real thing. People pay people money. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. You know, it's real. I'm like, there's no way that's real. It's real. People pay people money. And the shape of their bottom decides what their future's like. And I don't know. Anyways, we'll leave that there. I'm not going to go any deeper down that road. But literally, people use all sorts of things. Bible talks about in the book of Deuteronomy, it said for the children of Israel, chapter 18, verse 10 through 12, thou shalt not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divinations, or observeth the times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all those that do all these things are abominations of the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. One of the reasons why God wanted all the Canaanites out is because he didn't want his people to do the things that they would do. And isn't it what Israel ended up doing? They end up doing those things because God doesn't want you looking for other things or going to go to him. Your bottom's not going to tell you what your future is like, okay? It's not. And I don't know how, I don't know. You know, throwing rocks on the ground, whatever shape it forms, deciding what you do. Looking at I'm not going to touch a liver from an animal. That's gross, you know? That's not my thing. But there's so many things that people do. It's craziness. Go to God. He wants to be the source of everything. Look to him. That's why the Bible talks about 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That's why just go to God. Let the Spirit of God lead you. Got to keep on moving here because I'm almost out of time. If we're going to be led by the Spirit, number four, I must stop being led by my circumstances. I'm amazed at how many believers will decide that God's will is based on their circumstances in life. I missed the plane, so it must be God's will I missed the plane. No, maybe if you got up early and missed and were okay and didn't miss have all that traffic, maybe you could have gotten there. I was late for church. It must have been God's will. God probably helped me miss 5 accidents on the way to church. How do you know that? Circumstances sometimes could be a blessing and sometimes not, but they don't decide things, and we don't be led by circumstances. You know, where did God tell Jonah to go? To Nineveh. But there was room on the boat to Tarshish. It must have been the Lord's will for me to get on that boat. David, if he would have been at battle, he wouldn't have had some trouble in his life, right? You can't base and be led by circumstances. Which also leads to number 5. You can't be led by your feelings. How many of you ever have a feeling that something's not good, but then you come to find out that your feelings weren't right? Our emotions and our feelings are all over the place. And if your feelings are always right, then I guess you're different, but our feelings are up and down. The passage in Scripture I love to think of with this was Isaac with his son Esau and Jacob. Now, Esau is one hairy dude. That's one thing I can say. Because Isaac can barely see anymore. He says, hey, son, go get some meat for me and fix me a nice meal. Sounds like that's his father's last wish. Give me a good meal. That's what he wanted. And so Esau goes. So Jacob's mom puts on a skin of an animal, basically. He's that hairy. And Esau must not smell very good either because I can't imagine how that smelled. But he goes in, the Bible says that Isaac knew the voice of Jacob, but it feels like Esau. Isn't that how we run our lives a lot of times? We know what's right. We know what the book says. We let our feelings, it feels right, but we know it's not. You can't live your life and let your feelings lead and guide your life. You got to let the Lord do it. That's what the Lord will do. The Bible says this in Proverbs 14:12. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but then thereof are the ways of death. Well, I feel that this is right. That's not a good way to live. What does the Bible say? What does God want you to do? Because the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, right? All of us. That's why we need a shepherd. If we didn't have problems, we wouldn't need a shepherd, right? We need a shepherd. Because we'll be like that sheep I was mentioning earlier that got stuck, got out, and got stuck again. Thank God for that shepherd, that patient shepherd to be there. Now, when we look at all of this and we see some things that hinder us in being led by the Spirit of God, what can I do to be led by the Spirit? I think there's a few things we can do. Number one is I must want to be led. God's not going to lead you kicking and screaming like you do your children sometimes. God wants to lead you. He wants to help you. He wants to put you in the right path. He wants to help you do what's right. He wants to lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But if you don't want him to lead you, he'll let you do your thing. And a lot of times that's part of the problem. We think we can figure it out ourselves. Like me with that griddle. I think I can figure it out myself. And I was good for most of it, and I still had to reverse. You ever feel like life, it's three steps forward, two steps backwards? Just like that griddle for me. And if I would just follow the Lord's leading, it wouldn't have to be so many backward steps. It'd keep moving forward where he would have us go. Because in life, you're never just stationary. You're either moving forward or you're moving backward. You're never stationary. We're always moving. I love what Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. God, I want you to lead me. I wake up each day, and there, I look in the mirror, and I say a few things to myself, and I say a few things to the Lord every day. Because in order for this face to be as beautiful as it is, I got to spend a little time in the mirror, about 30 seconds each morning. But I'll say, Brian, the Spirit's going to lead you today. You're not going to do what you want to do. And Holy Spirit, please guide me. Please lead me. I want you to lead me. Help me, lead me to who you want me to be around, to help and guide me. But it starts with wanting to be led. And secondly, you got to be willing to do what God tells you to do. I must not only want God's will or God's leading, I need to do what he wants me. I need to do what he says. Isn't that what Jesus, Father, not my will, but thine be done? And then what did he do? He did what the Father wanted him to do. Isn't that the example that was set for all of us? It's what we need. We need to do what the Lord has for us. John 7:17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Do what God tells you to do. And what you do will be revealed. And if you're doing it for yourself or for God, it will be revealed when you do it. And then thirdly, and we're almost done. If I want to be led by God's Spirit, you must look to God's Word. God's Word is what you need. It is the manual for life. It's the instructions. It's everything you need to live the Christian life. The Bible says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What's the next verse say? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Everything you need to live is found in God's Word. But we go every other place other than God's Word. Psalmist said like this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've been grateful for the few times I've been on a hike and it got dark. Remember when I lived in Montana for those few years? If you're going to get the good hunting spots, you go at dark. I'm so thankful to have a flashlight. The only thing scary about that is you shine the light into the bushes around you and you see eyeballs looking back at you. And that was not, I'm glad I had my gun, but I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with it anyways if it came down to it. But it's nice to have that flashlight so you can see where you're going. We live in a dark world. What lights up the path so you can see where you need to go? God's Word. God's people need the Word of God. I love what it says in Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. We mentioned it before. You want to find, I hear people often, Pastor, I want to know God's will. God's will is written throughout his word. We talked about in our last series, the final sermon there. It says that we need to understand what the will of God is in Ephesians. And then it gives several things. To be filled with the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God lead us. The next verse, sing to yourselves psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. God wants you to have good music and make melody in your heart to Him. He wants you to be thankful. It's the will of God, right? And then He wants you to submit one to another in the fear of God. Those are great things that are part of God's will. But I want to know, does the Bible tell me who I'm supposed to marry? It doesn't have a name there, but it tells you the qualities you want in someone you marry, right? God's word has everything that we need in it. Go to God's word. I must look to God's word. And next, number four, I must ask the Holy Spirit to be my guide. Ask Him to guide you. Love what it says in Psalm 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. When was the last time you just asked the Lord what to do? Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me. And just like as I mentioned before, going on that on the midway there, and it was so much better when I had the headset on. So much better with the headset on. The Holy Spirit walks with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's right there. But how often do we actually let Him tell us what to do instead of being like, I'm glad you're with me, but I got this. We get ourselves in a lot of trouble. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, hey, what should I do here? And you say, well, what would you ask the Holy Spirit to do? Why not just ask Him everything? Are you going to go wrong? Ask Him for help in everything. Ask Him to help you what clothes you wear today. Ask Him to help you where Lord, where should we eat lunch? Well, the Lord told me it was God's will for me to go. No, don't go down there. But is it wrong to ask the Lord to lead you in everything? I think you do much better in life just asking Him. I think a lot of times just even getting that tendency inside of us of asking the Lord, like I said, the first message in this series, just reminding yourself that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God doesn't need to be reminded that He's your shepherd. He knows He's your shepherd. I need to be reminded that He's my shepherd, that I'm not my own shepherd. I need to be reminded, Lord, lead me, please. He's there. He wants to let Him. And then lastly this morning, number five, is this. I need to listen for God's response. Listen for God's response. Job said this in Job chapter 33, verse 14, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceive it not. You know, there are many times I think we miss it when God's trying to speak to us. And maybe we're just so, everything around us is what we hear and we're missing out on what the Lord has. Remember how, was it Jacob? Jacob was somewhere and he's like, I didn't even realize the Lord was here. And a lot of times we do that. But God might be trying to speak to you as you read His word. He might be speaking to you through a message, whatever the case may be. Are you listening? Because a lot of times we don't. Sometimes we're very good at speaking to God and talking to God, but are we very good at listening and waiting on Him? A great verse is Psalm 77, verse number 19. The way is in the sea, and thy path is in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. So what does that have to do with anything? Well, I'm out of time, so I can't tell you the whole story. But Psalm 77 is referring back to Moses and the crossing of the Red Sea. They didn't understand that this is what God had for them, right? So God, the 10 plagues in Egypt, God, finally Pharaoh says, you can go! And God gets them out of Egypt. Well, as they go, remember, Pharaoh ends up changing his mind. And he's going to go and destroy them. They get to where the Red Sea is, and they're like camped in, and there's water everywhere. Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? Well, the Lord wanted to lead them and guide them, right? And He was going to. He was taking them from Egypt to the Promised Land. You know where they had to go? Through that sea. They had to go through the great water. Did they see a place to walk? No. Did God have a plan the entire time? Yes. And it's interesting to note that the name of the place where this happened to them was called Baal, B-A-L-Z-E-P-H-O-N. which Baal, however you want to say that there, I was not a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar, and I can't even pronounce a lot of names. So I call this guy Pastor Adam back here, because that last name is a tough one to say. Yep. But it literally means God's hidden treasure. That's what the name means where they were. What was God's hidden treasure? That there was a spot to walk across on dry ground. But they couldn't see it. They didn't know where to go. They need to let God lead them. I wonder if maybe you're at some spot in your life today where you're in God's hidden treasure. Like, there's no way out. I got a call from the doctor the other day, or I don't have any money, or my well broke, or whatever the case may be. And God says, I'll guide you. Moses, who did he turn to? God, where do we go? And God led them. And God had a plan the entire time.